Times were tough, so I sold my soul. And I don't think I'll ever regain control.
Welcome to today's episode of the Heroic Play podcast. We are going to be talking about the Blacksmiths, which are available to buy if you are a lucky American out in Gen Con at the moment. If you're not a lucky American, then you have got to wait till SteamCon in November, by the sounds of it, to get them, because Steamforged love the Americans. I am joined by Luke and Rich this evening as we talk through this Blacksmiths episode.
Hello.
Right, so we have each picked a master and an apprentice to go through in a bit of detail, and then we will sort of discuss how we think they are and what sort of ideas we've had from them. We're also going to go into which master we think you take as a captain against the different guilds. So, for example, if you're playing against farmers, which master would you make your captain, etc., with all of the guilds, and including what we think going into the mirror match as well.
So should we start by talking about how the Blacksmiths work for anyone who doesn't really
know? Yeah.
For people that haven't seen it.
So, Luke, do you want to go first?
Yeah, so basically how the Blacksmiths work is they have no mascots, they don't really have a true captain, so to speak. So your team has got a... Basically, it says, when picking a Blacksmith team, only Masters and Apprentice models are picked. Exactly half the team's model must have the Master model type, and the other half must have the Apprentice. So... no union.
Yeah, it looks like union. Yeah. You can't have half and half. Mm.
Unless at some point, I suppose, we see union models come out with the master and apprentice kind of tag, but I think that's pretty unlikely. Mm.
So once you've got your team, your three masters, your three apprentices, you, it says immediately after picking a team, before setting up, choose one friendly master model to be the captain. The captain then gains +0, +2 influence, and the captain model for the duration of the game.
Yeah. So, effectively, that brings all of the captains to a 3-5 influence stat. Because all of the captains, Furnace, Anvil, and Ferrite, are all 3-3 in their master state, and whoever goes to captain becomes 3-5.
Yep. It's nice.
So, the teams, generally, it looks like it's going to be a 12 influence team across the board.
Yeah.
Not as bad as you think it would be.
So if you can manage to squeeze an early goal, you'll be on 13.
Which is pretty standard for a lot of teams.
Is sort of 12 influence, though.
So a good thing is that you've got no mascot, so generally a mascot is weaker. However...
he is only worth one...
one VP.
Whereas you're only ever going to be giving away two or four or more with the things that we've seen, like Bearhug or like Witness Me or Casket Time, etc. All of those players are going to be giving away at least two VPs.
And some of the apprentices ain't got a lot of health.
No, some of them do look distinctively squishy.
Yes.
Between 12 and 14, it's not a lot.
No.
Vitriol's got 10 now.
She deserves it.
The salt.
Keep the salt away.
Right.
Should we start with yours then, Mark?
Yeah, okay. So I've got Anvil and Sledge as the Master and the Apprentice combo that I'm going to be talking about. And I think they were the first two that we saw.
Yeah,
yep, quite a while back.
I think it was Vengeance when we saw them, maybe, and saw a bit more details about
them. Yeah, it was around Vengeance time.
So Anvil is the Master. He is... slow-ish. He's got a 4-6 stat, so similar to Corsair, I suppose. He's got attack 6, he's got a kick of 3-6, he is defence 2 and armour 3 with a 3-3 influence stat. I think it's hilarious because he's obviously got a massive shield, but he's running around bare-chested, yet Iron, who is in a fully enclosed suit of armour, is 2-2, so shields for the win all. Things that I find quite interesting with Anvil is he's got access to singled out relatively easy on his third column, and that is Momentous. He's got a momentous knockdown on one success, which is pretty good. He has got while the iron is hot, which costs two influence, or he can trigger it on a guild ball symbol, which as we've just said is on his third column. And it's choose either the friendly or the enemy goalpost. Friendly models within this pulse may make a 2-inch dodge directly towards the chosen goalpost. So effectively, you can use that to disengage your whole team, or most of the team, if you can catch them all within a 6-inch pulse.
6-inch pulse is pretty big.
You know, it's legendary sort of remit. So you can either disengage the majority of your team from combat by dodging them back towards your goal, probably, or turn one, it gives you a speed buff as they all get 2 inches closer towards the enemy goal.
Yeah.
Like, I can see it being used not every turn, but some turns I think it's going to have a distinct strong benefit.
It's like pseudo Black Heart.
Yeah, yeah.
But every turn, it's very controlled if it's we're all going forward or we're all going backwards.
Yeah, and it's also directly towards the goalpost. It might mean that you have to move at an angle towards it. It's never going to be just a straight line dodge forward 2 inches to extend the threat range. You're always going to be potentially going at an angle towards...
Good for a goal run.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you want to go directly towards that goal.
It's good for Iron, helping him get towards his range for heroic.
Yeah.
So, there's some things about Anvil that I like. He's got tough hide, and while an apprentice is within 1 inch of him, they gain +1 armour, which is pretty useful for keeping your, as we've said, squishy apprentice models still going. Which makes his apprentice sledge 4-2, which is pretty solid.
It's good.
You know, that's a pretty good stat line, really. So, other than that, he has got decent access to pushes for counter-attack options. He's got a momentous single push on 2 successes and a momentous double push on 4 successes. His playbook is 6 long in line with his tack. Now, obviously, all of the captains have got a legendary play, or all of the masters have got a legendary play, which then gets an upstat if they are the captain. So, Anvil's is tested metal, which is this model gains +1 tack. If he is the captain, then while within this aura, friendly models gain tough hide, which I think is pretty strong going into quite a lot of teams. Making a high armour, tough hide team for a turn allows you to weather a storm pretty well, I think.
Ox's legendary turn.
Yeah, while it doesn't turn off the owner, it will turn off like his damage buff from the legendary.
Yeah. So how would you use Anvil?
Keep him in the centre.
I think
moving,
knock people down and single them out, ready for people to come in.
I think he is very much a centre control piece. Like, I think with his pushes and with his knockdowns, I think for me he rings a little bit similar to Ghast.
Yeah.
And you want him in that centre of the. He feels a bit like an anchor.
Yeah.
And with his name being Anvil, he's like the focal.
Yeah.
It's like what they all work on. So he's obviously the foundation that they beat everything into.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I think very much he's going to be a centrepiece for your team. I think realistically what he is going to be doing is he's going to be setting up his apprentice, which is Sledge, which the first character we ever saw with a momentous 7 damage on their playbook.
Yep.
Which is pretty phenomenal, really. Like, that is going to bring some hurt. While it's not necessarily, you're not going to be kicking out that momentous 7 every hit that you make, don't be thinking that, because he's tack 5 with a 7 long playbook, so he's pseudo crazy in terms of his playbook, but with obviously without having crazy. I think one of the interesting character plays that ties in with the combo of them is Pile Driver, which is 1 influence or 1 guild ball symbol, which is on 2 hits on his column, which is this model's next attack gains +3 net hits, which is better than Midas, heavy Midas's burden
which is
thing,
+2,
but slightly less than a vengeance token. what I think you've got to then bear in mind is he's got a character trait tutelage, which is when this, if this model starts its activation within 6 inches of a friendly named model, this model may use a character play once during its activation without spending influence. So effectively, if, say, Anvil has already been and he's knocked down and singled out the target, say it was a 4-1 model and they're now a 3-1 model because they're on the ground, you're looking at 5 dice for Sledge, then you're getting +1 for the ganging up and +2 for the singled out. That gives you effectively 8 tack that you're hitting them with. So you could, for free, chuck up your pile driver, and then realistically, I reckon you're probably looking at hitting 4 or 5 hits after armour.
Which takes you to your momentous 7.
Which then you're adding to your +3. Which puts you up to 7 or 8 hits. So you're either looking at doing a momentous 7 on its own, or a wrap for a momentous 7 and a momentous 1, which means that he's putting out like potentially 8 damage on one hit. And then obviously if you're continuing to hit them, I can see you're probably achieving your momentous 4, which is on your 5th column probably, yeah, or then your momentous 2 on your 3rd column. So if you've done 8 damage on your first smash and then you manage to get a 2 and then maybe a 4.
14 and 3 14 hits. 14
damage and 3 hits.
That's a dead player.
That is pretty much a lot of dead players. Anvil's had his
fun with him as well.
Yeah, potentially. Well,
Anvil could set multiple people up. He could knock multiple down.
Yeah.
Go from there.
So I think between the two of them, they've got the potential of doing that whole set them up, knock them down.
Yeah, yeah. That's a beautiful
sort of combo. Yeah.
They're knocked down at one so strong.
I think that is realistically pretty dangerous that you'll see. I think it'll telegraph it pretty easily. I think you'll see that Anvil is going to go and lamp somebody and then Sledge will follow up.
Mm.
And it's whether you can do something in the gap between activations to interrupt that, to save the player that Sledge is about to go and try and
sledgehammer to the floor.
To the face, yeah. I think it's nice that they've got long bomb because they've all got quite good kick stats in the team. So it does mean that Sledge will be able to get the ball 10. Back up the field to people like Ferrite or possibly Cinder. Even to Iron or Cinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that your players that are more likely to be scoring a goal than he is, I would have thought. So I think I think it's a good combo. Sledge is slightly quicker being 5'7", and as we've said, he's got a 3'6" kick, so he goes to a 3'10" with long bomb, which is pretty useful.
Yeah.
So he can hoof the ball, 10? So he could move the ball 17 inches probably if he sprints and long bombs it and then passes it.
Yeah. It seems like an easy enough setup for a takeout, so you're probably looking for a 2-2 with the team.
Yeah, as an initial thought, Sledge murdering two people is probably quite achievable in a game, I would have thought. Yeah,
that's before Furnace gets in there as well. Furnace can do things.
Yeah, that's before you factored in Tooled Up, which that's could make segue. That 7-1 into a 8-2.
This is it.
Which is pretty horrible.
That's worrying a lot of players, that is.
Yeah, it is. So I think with us having mentioned Furnace, do you want to cover Furnace?
Yeah, let's crack on Cinder Rich. Yeah, so initially I wasn't massively sold on the blacksmiths when I first saw Anvil and Sledge.
Right.
I dare say when I saw Furnace and Cinder, they kind of cemented it.
Made it a little bit more appealing.
Yeah,
to
it can tease me away from my Masons for a little bit, to be honest. So so Furnace, he's a bit faster than Anvil. He's on 5'7".
Yeah.
But he has tack 6, which seems to be quite standard for the captains. Well, Ferrite's 5, but for these pair. Kick 3-8, so another strong kick stats. Yeah. Def 3, armour 2.
Yeah.
Another guy, bare chested, still with 2 armour.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go near with that flaming.
Yeah, sword and then the standard 3-3 influence for the captains. His playbook's nice, but he's not going to be doing a massive amount of damage, but you're probably aiming for that 3 successes for the knockdown and then just rail away. But that's not where the beauty of Furnace comes in.
No.
No. So as a little entree, he's immune to the first burning condition, which is always nice.
Yeah.
It gives Sentinel out like Anvil does.
Yeah.
To players within one, well, sorry, apprentice models within 1 inch.
Yeah.
So that works on all apprentices, which is nice.
So yeah, it means you've got two bubbles where your apprentices can be a bit safer. It's only 1 inch,
maybe that's a little bit too short, because you know you've got protected.
They're both on 40mm base as well, so it's a slightly larger.
Yeah, it's true, but you know, on other models you've got protected, like with Brick and Harmony, which is 4 inches.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe 1 inch is a little bit short, but it's kind of nice.
It's good for the scrum, isn't it?
Yeah, but then the beauty of it is Searing Strike, which is the money shot, really. minus one, like when you damage an enemy model, they get minus one armor for the remainder of the turn and burning.
Yeah,
which is delicious. So you're making them easier to hurt and slower,
and harder to get away.
Harder to get away as well. Do you know what I mean? So that's really really nice. It's got a legendary play, Tempered Steel, which is a 6-inch aura, which we're seeing a lot of nowadays.
Yeah.
This model gains one armor.
Yeah.
So putting him on for a 3-3, strong. And then if he is the captain, models within the 6 inches gain that Searing Strike. So they get that minus 1 armor and burning when they damage a model.
Yeah.
Which is very, very nice.
Yeah, I think with Searing Strike, it's going to be really offensive because it's going to drain momentum out of your opponent's team by clearing the burning as well, or they're going to be taking those little bits of ongoing damage here and there as well.
It's like Furnish seems like an early activation player to me, just so obviously you can get that out, so they've all got Searing Strike, plus he has got Tooled Up.
Yeah,
so obviously he then activates, does a little bit of damage, maybe does it on himself, maybe does it on Sledge.
Yeah.
Sorts it out from there, so Sledge becomes even
harder. And then a two.
Yep. And then he's got one at a time, lads. While within this ongoing effect, AOE models do not gain ganging up bonuses or suffer crowding out penalties. So he's got a range 6 of that, so he can throw that out, and then it's a 3-inch AOE.
So you'd chuck that into the Corsair Scrum or something?
Chuck it into the Corsair Scrum and then watch
that. That will shut that Corsair murder ball down quite heavily. Yeah.
And that's cost zero.
That is. Yeah, that's really, really nice. Good. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that'll upset a lot of teams. Like, that ruins things like Rage.
Vet Rage, yeah.
Vet Rage as well, because they have to be...
They all have to be within age.
Well, I'm just wondering what the wording is on Bloody Coin, because it's... do you not have to be crowding out or ganging up to be able to get the benefit of Bloody Coin?
Let's have a look. All checking phones.
Mm-hmm. Target friendly guild model within 1 inch gains plus one attack and plus one
damage. It's only when engaged.
So it's not mentioning crowding out, so it doesn't.
So it doesn't switch. It's not that good.
It doesn't quite.
But it's still.
But when you've got that, they're not getting lots of extra attack. They're just getting the one extra attack and the one extra damage.
This is it. So basically, you could position that so it catches your own models.
Yeah.
So if you've got someone up in no man's land, you can chuck that on them to protect it to a certain extent.
That's it. So it's nice. I really like Furnace. He looks like a good guy. You know, picture's nice.
Yeah.
Model's not too bad. It's like...
I think he's one of the better models.
He is. He is one of the better models out of the six.
Yeah.
But anyway, again... one last thing. He's down as a central midfielder, so he's kind of... You're expecting him to be sitting there with Anvil in the middle.
Yeah.
So Anvil's a centre-back, he's a central midfielder.
Yeah,
this is it. So you're kind of going to see them both there. So,
walking the scrum
up. Next up, Cinder. Now, she really did.
I like her.
She sold me the players, just the team, just on her own. So, let's go through it. 6'8", she's quick.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Really nice. Attack 5, which is good for just a standard apprentice.
Yeah.
Kick 3'8", so she can score goals. Death 3, armor 1, and then the standard 1-4 influence, which is nice because not all the Sledge is a 3.
Iron's a 1-4, yeah.
Iron's a 1-4.
Yeah, this is it. So between Cinder and Iron, they can both go up to 4, which is quite nice. Right, let's go through.
She looks like she's related to Zerola.
I think it's just because she's got those
same dreadlocks
really, isn't it?
I do like the furnace effect on her quiver though.
Yeah,
it's quite nice. Good. So it's got unpredictable movement,
which is always
always a bonus.
Awesome.
So she's got Kindled, which connects to furnace. If this model starts within 6 inches, she gains burning strike for the remainder of the turn.
Yeah.
So she can give out burning.
She can give out burning, which is nice.
And she's got Hotshot. Once per turn during its activation, if it's not suffering the knockdown condition, this model may declare an attack against an enemy model that is within 6 inches. So that's a ranged close combat attack.
Yeah.
They have to have line of sight, but you count as engaging.
Yeah. So it's that good. Does mean you get ganging up bonuses if you've got mates in the fight because you count as being engaging.
Yes.
You're going to get the extra but if you're, attack.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So in that, say, Sledge, Anvil, Furnace, Bubble, she yeah. can then range attack with all the singled item bonuses and, say, pinch the ball or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, range tackle. Yes, it's very nice. Yeah, so you'd really ideally like to use it on someone who is ganged up on
yeah.
because trying to get that 3 on tack 5, it's not going to happen all the time.
No.
But either way, she's got a decoy, so for a cost 1, she can give herself +2 death.
Yeah, against the next enemy attack or character play, like what you saw on Greyscales, has yeah. had that since season 1.
This yeah. is it.
And I think, so from playing a bit of Fish, I think that decoy is situationally useful.
Yeah.
I don't think it's I use it every turn.
Mm. It's annoying when Hag gets it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to be honest, I'd use Cinder for kickoff.
Yeah.
So I'd kick her off, obviously move the 6 inches, she can then kick it 8. Yeah. So, you know, you then haven't got to give her, on her turn, on her activation, you haven't got to give her that much. Maybe one for a cheeky decoy while she's running down the side. But yeah. to be honest, the reason why I'd kick off with her is for her next character play. Kill the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Range 6. Remove target free ball from the pitch. This model's controlling player resolves a goal kick.
Yeah.
So, if you kick off with her, if they don't collect the ball, you can then shoot it and remove it and then kick it off within 10 inches.
So, in theory, they happen to get the hold of the ball turn 1, their first activation. You could walk up to 6 inches away, do a ranged tackle on them, drop the ball and then blow it up.
You could. Or with but to be honest, with her 3-8 kick, you could happily kick it back to your team.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, or, you know, if you need it further back, if you just need to kill the ball against Fish, then I think the idea of killing the ball and doing a goal kick and dumping it out near your goal is probably better
yeah,
than...
Yeah, it's true. It's also nice to use against Locus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I feel that the engineer should have had this character play, personally.
Yes. To be honest, I think kill the ball is what...
Locus should have had.
Well, no, well...
Or Salvo.
I think Salvo should have had it as well.
As well as tether ball.
As well as tether yeah. ball, so he can something. Do both. Because they're effectively doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're effectively just shooting the ball yeah. with an arrow.
Yeah, interesting. I like a momentous 2 damage on 3.
Mm.
I yep. think with the like with having singled out and stuff like weak point in the guild, she's going to be able to kick out a bit of damage.
Yeah.
She's going to be the secret damage dealer that...
But she could do, like, with a singled out, there's, you know, there is a potential she could do, like, the momentous 2 from range.
Yeah, I mean, also, then, let's not forget that she's got a non-momentous 4 on the top of her playbook. Yeah.
That seems to be
so
a trait of the guild.
Yeah, it does a little bit. If she charges somebody at, like, tack 9 up to 11 with singled out, 12 with a crowding out, then I think it's more than likely that she'll hit that momentous 4 and maybe wrap back round for your momentous 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like her putting 6 damage, like if she just comes charging in out of nowhere, then I think that 6 damage could catch your opponent off guard.
Yeah, and she's got that 4 influence, so she can do it again while she's in there.
And again, the 3-8 kick as well. An 8 sprint and an 8 kick.
This is it. So, again, she's your...
She's
your standard winger base, to be honest.
Yeah. I think she effectively can score a goal from an angle that your opponent can't see necessarily because she could obviously sprint, then do her hot shot and make a ranged tackle and then shoot. So I think your opponent are going to have to be quite careful where they keep the ball because...
Yeah.
Or even if she's got the ball, she could say you get first activated, like on a turn, you win the initiative roll off, you could make a ranged attack, get a momentous 1 each dodge on 1 success, then run and score for 3 influence.
To be honest, that double dodge on 2 is a brilliant counter attack as well.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
It's one of my favourites.
It's one of the best counter attack options. She's all over.
Yeah, that and double pushes.
Yeah, but and on 13 boxes, she kind of needs it.
Yeah, she does.
But to be honest, if you've got decoy up,
or she's and with one of the sentinels, she's a 3-2.
Yeah,
with a decoy of 5-2.
This is it, but say she's stuck at
5-2, terrific.
Yeah.
Charger, defensive stance, 6-2.
5-2 is not very good.
But this is it. So, but say you've left her hanging on the wing, you know, with a decoy up and a counter-attack.
Mm-hmm.
She's going nowhere. She'll dodge out.
Yeah.
Unpredictable as well, let's not forget.
Unpredictable.
Okay. So I think that sort of covers the two fire-based players. So, yeah. Luke, do you want the ferrite and the iron?
Ferrite and iron are the two newest ones that we've only just really received very, very recently.
Yeah.
That's kind of all over Facebook at the moment from them, Americans.
Being out at Gen Con.
So, Ferrite, she is a master. She's got a 5-7 move, attack of 5, a 4-8 kick, another good strikery captain. She's a 3 defence with a 2 armour. Pretty good.
Yeah.
A playbook, well, no, a character play. She's got acrobatic for 1 influence, which I love.
Yeah.
Great for your unpredictable movement, stuff like that, dodging in, dodging out. Love it. She's got disarm on 1 Guild Ball symbol, which is momentous on 1 success.
Yeah.
So it's target enemy suffers -2 attack. Or she's also got weak point for a Guild Ball symbol, which is target enemy that suffers -1 armor. So just varying, combining her with her -1 armor and is a...
It's
Furnace's
Searing Strike. Blackheart is now a 3-0 after 2 hits.
Yeah. She's pretty unpleasant.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all of those 3-2 Masons players have now got no armour.
Yeah. And they're low defence. No armour. Yeah.
That's true.
Make them a bit sad. So her character traits are Get Over Here Iron. So once you're in this... Basically, it's Get Over Here Scum.
Yeah, so you know what Get Over Here does? Effectively, it's that, but for Iron.
Iron's her apprentice.
Yeah.
She's also got Hobble. So when damaged by this model, enemy models suffer -2/-2 move for the remainder of the turn. So basically, all these salty fish players, it's the caught in a net they've nicked off the shark. Minus the armour, the defence.
Yeah,
but you have to do it on an attack.
Yeah, so it's on an attack. A legendary is this model gains +2/+2 move. And if she's a captain, other friendly guild models within this pulse gain the +2/+2 move and the hobble trait.
Yeah.
So they can slow a team down and speed themselves up.
Yeah, I mean, between Furnace and Ferrite, you can proper slow a team down. You can chuck out -4/-4 between burning and hobble.
Yeah, it's nice.
Which is enough to slow a lot of teams right down.
Yeah, so with that and then boosting your team's movement as well,
yeah,
it just gets a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, the thing I've noticed about Ferrite is your tough hide players are generally going to be immune to hobble, because with only attack 5, she's not going to get that 3 successes at the top, then 3 damage at the
top.
Yeah,
so effectively...
Because she only puts out a non-momentous 1 damage on 1.
And then she's not got any more damage until her 4th column, which is then a non-momentous 3.
So she'd need to set up from Furnace.
So she'll need set up or crowding out.
Yeah, yeah. I think realistically, if you take her as your master, I think you'll be using your legendary on the turn where you want everybody else to put it out, because she's... probably
not the best person to
be doing it herself.
A playbook's more about getting out of bother, really, or doing a bit of setup. So she's got
a striker's playbook, basically, with a knockdown.
To be honest, it's strange, but if you look at the playbooks, it's kind of the apprentices that will do all the damage.
Yeah,
so there's like the master teacher.
So the master just sets them up.
I suppose the master has spent his time working the forges and beating all of the metal and everything like that, whereas the new apprentices are now there to do that, really, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got the
they do the setup, go, tell them what to do. Yeah.
So like, the masters do all the hard work, and then the apprentices just finish it off, so to speak.
Yeah. So a playbook's really good. So it's a 4-long playbook with attack 5.
Yeah.
She's got a Guild Ball symbol on 1, a momentous tackle or a double dodge on 2, momentous push dodge on 3. Or a momentous knockdown on 4, or a non-momentous 3. It is a striker's playbook. I like it.
The thing is, on the charge, you'll get the knockdown and you'll get the one damage for the hobble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you could get a knockdown and a disarm or a weak point.
Or a tackle, probably.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because tack 9 on the charge, I suppose it depends on what other factors there are, but I think you could probably rely on getting 6 hits, maybe.
Yeah.
It's probably a bit of an ask, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's again with setup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So then we move on to Iron, the man in the big hunking great
the
suit of armour.
Most disappointing model, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't really like the model. I think we've seen him in the pictures in the box and he looks terrible. I think seeing him pictures out of the box, he doesn't look great. And seeing him painted...
We can only see him from behind painted.
We can only see him painted from behind. I'm not a huge fan of the model. I really like his artwork, but there's something about his pose where he just looks a bit like his arms are too close to his chest sort of thing.
It looks like someone's stolen his horse.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, right, Iron. So he's got a 4-6 move. Not the fastest, but, you know, he's a big guy in a suit of armour. Tack 6. He's got a 2-6 kick, which I believe is the weakest of all the blacksmiths.
Weakest of all of them, yeah.
He's a 2-2 defence, a 2 defence, 2 armour. And he's a 1-4 influence. His playbook is nice. It's one of my favourite playbooks, I think, of the blacksmiths.
Mm.
So he's got a 7 long playbook with tack 6. So he's got a double push on 1 success or 1 damage. He's got a momentous tackle or momentous 2 damage on 2. A non-momentous knockdown on 3. A momentous 4 damage on 4. A momentous double push on 5. A non-momentous knockdown and double push on 6. And that fabled momentous 7 on 7.
Yeah.
His playbook's insane. It's so good.
For these are essentially those two are like pseudo mascots.
Well, I don't think they are. They just don't have mascots, do they?
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, between Iron and Sledge, you should easily be getting your 2 takeouts over the course of a game. And you can, I think Ferrite on her own can quite easily score a goal by sort of sprinting, acrobaticing, tackling, dodging about and stuff. Mm. She's going to be in a position where if she's your captain, she'll be able to score a goal quite easily.
To be honest, I can totally see, like, in a turn, Anvil setting up 2 players.
Yeah.
Knocking 2 down, potentially singling them both out.
Sledge
takes 1, Iron takes the other.
Yeah, if he's the captain.
If he's the captain, yeah. Even with, yeah.
Because he needs
with 3, he isn't going to do it, but with the 5, he'll easily do it. And I can totally see that happening.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Just setting it up for those two boys just to go in
and murder somebody
and take names. They'll all be standing next to him, so they'll all be getting +1 armour.
Yeah.
And that's, 2-3 is nice.
Mm.
And then you've got your 4-2 on Sledge.
Yeah. So his character plays, he's got Impetus for a cost of 1. So this model gains +2, +4 move. So he's now a 6'10".
In a suit of armour.
In a full suit of armour.
Yeah, well, I suppose once you've got your momentum going, when you're in a
once you've got your
full
impetus.
Play, it's a bit hard to stop, really, isn't it?
Yeah, which leads us on to his first character trait. He is a battering ram. So during an advance made by this model, any model whose base is touched by this model's base suffers a 2-inch push directly away from this model. A model can only be affected by his character trait once per turn. Ah! Any model, so he can do that to friendly to give him a dodge. Prior to this, we were talking about using it like as a push to push enemies away, but he can dodge friendly models.
Pseudo, yeah.
Yeah. So
between Iron and Anvil, then you can get your team off the starting line 4 inches forward.
Yes. Yeah, so
he runs along.
He just runs along behind everybody and pushes them. For free.
Yeah.
It'll cost you 1 for the impetus and obviously one for the run.
Sprint, yeah.
But that's a really good first turn
setup.
But then you've
got 10 inches of sprint at that point.
Yeah.
So you can loop round. He's got close control.
Wait.
Love it. Love close control. Close control with a double push on 1.
Yeah.
Strong counter attack.
Tackle on 2 as well.
He's also got tough hide. Great. Love tough hide. Makes sense, really.
He's
in a suit of armour.
It makes his 14 boxes a little bit more formidable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good ball holder, actually, thinking about it. Because if they go in, if a striker goes in and they've sprinted up to him to go for the getting the ball off him, they've got to tackle him, at which point you go close control.
Counter-attack and push him away.
Or at which point they go, I'll buy another attack, and then you go, I'll counter-attack. And then they go tackle, you go, all right. And then you go, I'll tackle you back with my counter-attack.
Yeah.
And then if they're still in a point where... Because if they've sprinted and then they've had to buy two attacks to get the ball off it...
They can have the ball on the third one. On the final one.
You know. Then, you know, or if they're... Yeah.
Or like
you've
I said,
got a knockdown on three.
Or like I said, just push them away.
Yeah.
Like they'll go for the tackle away. And you just push them 2 inches. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
He's got heroic play. It's a little bit of a bizarre one. It's called Try Hard. So if this model is within 2 inches of the enemy goalpost and is in possession of the ball marker, this model may make a shot during its activation without spending momentum. This shot gains minus one target number. So if he's 2 inches in the goal, he gets a 2+ shot on goal.
Yeah.
It still costs him momentum, but if you've got the heroic play card,
So you're spending momentum to that you would have been spending for a shot.
Yeah.
But you're also getting the minus one transaction target number on the
Have got to be within 2 inches.
You have got to be within 2 inches.
But with a 10-inch move and knocking people out the way.
And potentially if Ferrite was your captain and she's used the legendary that turn, he goes up to a 12-inch sprint. She's pretty strong. And he shoved everybody out of the way on his way in. So he is getting his two dice to score the goal. Because he walks, so if there's people in the way that are going to block his goal shot, he just bases them, bumps them 2 inches out of the way, and then he's within his 2 inches to.
And even if he's a little bit shy of that, Anvil can then go up.
Yeah.
We'll dodge it towards the goal. But I can't wait to read, hopefully, in the season 4 fluff about the Blacksmith's game of imagining Iron running through and just taking a whole team out towards the goal.
To be honest. What I'm interested in is when, as we pointed out about the, you can push friends with battering ram.
Yeah.
He can set up his own assists. He can set up his own.
Yeah. He can push people.
He can push people into a fight with who he's about to go into.
Yeah. So he could loop round.
So you can give out your own ganging up bonuses, which is quite so strong.
Yeah, that is quite clever. Actually, I thought of it like that, but yeah.
I think he's really. He looks really fun to play.
If only he had a better model.
Yeah. So. After looking at all the players, one thing that jumps out for me are the melees. There's only two inch melee models.
Yeah, but that's pretty standard. Unless you're talking Fish or Brewers, a lot of teams don't have a lot of 2 inch.
Mm. No. So yeah, it's pretty good. So overall, they look a really interesting team, apart from the models, is what I'll say. I'm not a fan so far. But I'll probably.
You might warm to them.
Might warm to them.
Yeah. I'll be getting a set.
I'll definitely be getting a set.
Fair.
But I like new shiny toys.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't think it's a massive leap for me to go from Masons to Blacksmiths.
I think it's going
to
be a very similar feel.
It is.
Whether you'll enjoy it because of that, or whether you'll be, nah, it's too close to what I've already been playing.
To be honest, I think I like the flexibility of Masons, and these seem to have...
The what?
Masons are pretty flexible. Masons
are the most flexible team out there. They can go either way. At the honestly,
drop of a hat. You can turn
on
a point.
You can go from fighting to scoring.
Like you can either sink 10 influence into honor and harmony and rape player, or you can sink 10 influence into them and score 2 goals.
Yeah,
it's been done quite a lot. It's
like there's no more.
Yeah. I don't know who you'd say would be more flexible than Masons.
Engineers.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, they could do a good pain game.
If you want to spend all your momentum killing, influence killing one player.
I don't think they do it as well as Masons, to be honest.
Either way, so like I said, with these, it feels like Iron can do both. Like, do you know what I mean? Iron can score goals and he can go beat some fucker up.
Right. So that's us covered the players. So we had a bit of a think about what captains we thought we would play into what teams. So we're going to go through them quick-ish and sort of go through a bit of a reason why, basically. So for alchemists, we've said ferrite.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much because you want the speed to be able to get round them.
Because if they're chucking burn out, you don't really want to be effective.
You don't, yeah, so yeah. Tuffide's not going to be affecting the burn for you. And a lot of the alchemists probably aren't that worried about losing a point of armour. It's not going to help you that much.
They're high death flow armour models, yeah, really. I think.
Against butchers, we've said anvil or ferrite. Anvil will obviously blunt a ox legendary turn, or will just blunt the damage output of the team on his legendary. Whereas ferrite will help you to slow their team down. Like, there aren't any butchers players with tough hide apart from the pig.
No, it's true.
Yeah, that's right.
So, like, ferrite will be in a position where she can get hobble out on those players.
But then anvil's obviously got the extra influence to set the players up, knocking them down.
Yeah.
Brewers, we thought any.
Yeah, I think it's kind of your pick really against them. If you want to slow them down, you probably go with Furnace. If you're worried about their damage output, then you obviously go with Ferrite, with Anvil, sorry. Or if you want to try and run rings around them, you go for Ferrite.
I probably wouldn't be a bit reluctant to run Furnace against Esters.
Yeah.
For getting the burning out, that type of stuff, because they just.
It's true. Yeah.
So for engineers, we've said anvil, purely because it gives you a bit more scope for getting around things like the minefield, and it makes blast earth.
It lowers their range
sort of damage output, but also it lowers their damage output against things like tooled up and deletion as well.
Yeah, so Pinvar's going to have to deletion herself just to get her average damage.
Obviously,
yeah,
then losing herself in the process.
Taking then four afterwards for doing the privilege, at which point she's quite likely to get put in the bin.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Fish.
Fish, anvil or ferrites.
So we'd go anvil for Corsair.
Yeah, obviously, for Corsair don't like tough hide.
Yeah.
Makes him sad.
But as we were discussing, would Furnace be an option for Corsair for his one at a time, lads?
He can do that anyway. He doesn't need to be the captain to do that.
He just throws that out.
Yeah, I've got to get out the mentality that you only take one captain.
It's so nice that he can just do that for free. I really don't sort of. Yeah, I can't say about that.
And then we said ferrite for shark because it gives you the speed to keep up with them and catch them, basically, on that legendary turn if you need it.
Yeah.
But also, you're hobbling them, and again, if it's shark fish, you're probably not seeing that many tough hide players, so you'll be able to get hobble out quite easily. Farmers, we said anvil or ferrite. Very much from what we've seen from the few games that we've had, like with Proxteed farmers, they seem to be quite a high damage team, so being able to throw out tough hide on your team is probably a benefit.
Or ferrite, keep up with them because they seem quite quick as well.
They're no slouches in terms of movement.
They're a really interesting team.
But also having the additional move will help you trample their crops.
Yeah. Yeah, and
slow them down and
reduce their influence as well with that. For Masons, we've said Furnace purely based on they don't like being slowed down with burning, and they definitely don't like losing their armour.
Yeah. So if you've got a turn of everybody losing their armour, sort of your main players go down to 3-0, or 3-0 if you're using a weak point off ferrite
as well.
It makes Masons very sad.
You can definitely pick out a couple of key people, like
if you make Brick 2-0,
or like Mallet, dropping him down to 3-0 makes him sad and quite easy to put in the bin.
To be honest, even the players like Hammer and Flint losing their only armor makes them sad.
Definitely. Against hunters, we've said anvil or ferrite, purely because hunters will do quite a bit of damage against you if they manage to catch your players. So being able to sort of blunt a J-Cart Alpha or something like that is probably quite useful.
But I love the visual image of anvil holding the bear off with that shield.
With that massive door,
Got the Revenant.
Maybe hopefully a bit more successful than the Revenant.
He lived.
Or we've said ferrite for slowing them down because they're quite a quick team, and then also, you know, hobble and disarm are quite useful against the hunters.
The disarm really nullifies the counter attack.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Morts, we've said ferrite.
Yeah.
mainly around Obulus, for being able to get around his unpredictable, that type of stuff.
Yeah, acrobatic is so strong.
Acrobatic, yeah. Increasing iron to move, to run up, dodge people into Obulus' melee.
Yeah, then being able to use Get Over Here to bring Obulus, iron into Obulus' melee without triggering unpredictable.
Yeah, and to be honest, as you're not ending your advance with iron's battering ram, you're not proccing unpredictable movement. Mm. So you can push... you could push Obulus into your other players.
Well, isn't it directly away?
If you ran behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Either way, cool.
Like, 10 inch movement.
You're not finishing your move, so you don't proc it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can push him without him having the chance to run off.
Yeah.
Fair.
I like that. Union's a really interesting one. So Rage, we've said Anvil.
Just because you want to... Again, I think we're focusing on...
Limiting the damage
when you're looking at Anvil as your captain, because that legendary turn of everybody having tough hide will make your whole team survive a lot better.
Slightly better, yeah.
You have to still bear in mind some of your players are still quite squishy. Sledge is only on 12.
Like, people are going to fall over, but I think you can reduce the likelihood of that in that
yeah,
turn.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Yeah. It might just buy you that activation that you need to then get momentum to heal somebody back up.
Mm.
Basically,
do you think this team will be momentum stuff? They seem like they'd be quite easy to generate quite a lot of momentum. They've got a lot of momentous results early on in the playbook.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to struggle for momentum looking at them. I think you're just going to have to make sure that you're doing what they want to be doing.
Mm.
So, like, I think Furnace is going to be, you're going to be using him to push people into the melees of other people.
He's going to be like a pseudo Harry.
Yeah, he's going to be knocking people over. He's going to be doing crowd control, and he's going to be sort of shoving people about.
The problem is they're a low def team overall. Mm. They're going to be giving away a lot of momentum, so you're going to struggle in the actual overall momentum race.
Depends what your opponent's doing with it, I suppose.
Mm. Against your looking at them as the stats being very similar to Mason's, if you against certain teams, you're just not going to win the momentum race.
Mm. Fair.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the low def really does take a toll.
Mm. Especially when you knock them down, it just gets ridiculous.
Yeah. Against Blackheart, we've said Ferrite, and against Brisket, we've said Ferrite as well. Mm. Just because we think that what she brings will... like her toolbox and having more influence with her will be a better into that matchup.
Through dodges, that type of stuff, being able to nullify, more targeted nullifying one model at a time.
Yeah, just having, to be honest, even if on the not the legendary play turn, just having her as a 5 influence just to dodge around, setting people up.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like a 1-2 setup between Anvil and Ferrite will make players very sad.
Yeah, definitely. So the mirror match. The mirror, we've said Furnace, just because their greatest defence is lots of armour. Yeah. And
Furnace can get rid of armour.
Taking armour off them, but then also you're slowing down what for the majority is quite a slow team. Like, Cinder is your quickest player, and then everybody else is, the highest is a 5-7, at which point that's a 3-5.
You do have like 3-5-7s though.
Mm. Yeah. So, but they will all easily become like 3-5 then, which is pretty crushing. So, yeah, on first glance, we're saying Furnace into the mirror match.
Yeah,
yep, definitely.
So I really like them. I think they're.
They'll be interesting to play against. I'm looking forward to seeing them on the table.
To be honest, I'm intrigued to see how they do compared to teams that have to take a mascot. Are we going to see? Do you know what I mean?
Will that additional player,
is it going to affect how other teams play into them? Because not a lot of teams will play for a mascot kill. Maybe sort of like Vet Cat and things like that. If you're truly desperate, then kill the mascot. Yeah. Like for Mother, for example, it's always worth killing Mother.
Oh god,
because
she's a pain in the arse. But for other mascots, is it really
like you've got Flask who you don't want to kill?
Killing the tortoise or killing the pig.
Pretty hard work.
It's pretty hard. It's a lot of work to do. Whereas you could put probably the same amount of work in Kill Sledge.
Yeah.
Or even Cinder. She's a 3-1 with 13 boxes.
I think she's the potential victim on the team, to be honest.
Yeah, being a 3-1 really does sort of...
3-1 with 13 boxes, I think she could be the one that you've got to be the most careful with.
Yeah. She's got a bit of protection with Unpredictable, but there's enough 2-inch models out there who are going to break face.
Definitely. You're just then hoping on decoy if you can get it off before someone comes in.
So it's going to be an interesting team to play because you're getting the 6-box set
Yeah.
That's it. No apparent union choices.
No.
So that, and then you have your six.
At some point next year, you'll get another
six
players.
That's it. I think you'll see them initially bloom in tournaments where people take them.
It'll be shiny model syndrome, really.
Yeah, but
it?
Then once you've only got six people and it's easy to then play against.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, you've got the you can keep your cards to your hand about which captain you're going to use.
But realistically, that only matters on legendary turn. It don't change how the team interacts with each other.
This is it. So I think that it'll make them, only having six players will make them easier to play into because you know what you're getting.
Yeah, because you, once you've played them a couple of times, they won't be able to drop a player that you haven't seen.
Mm. Plus, you haven't got the union to mix it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I think that's basically it, really, for the Blacksmiths episode that we've been through. We hope you've enjoyed listening and enjoy this while you're wandering around Gen Con.
Yep.
I suppose, because loads of lucky people are at Gen Con, which I would really like to get to at some point in the future, because I think it's like one of those things that's kind of a gotta see it if you're a bit
definitely.
Of a nerd.
It's like a mecca for players.
Mecca for nerds, really, once a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have got a couple of tournaments coming up. We've got our 16-man on September the 9th, which has got about 8 tickets left on it, I think.
Yeah.
And we've got 1 ticket left for our 32-man event on October the 21st at Bravo 1 in Birmingham. The September one is at Young's in Coventry.
Yeah.
And then that's about it.
That's out for events at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose, thank you for listening, and you can find us on Facebook at The Heroic Play, you can find The Heroic Play website via www.theheroicplay, and you can follow us on Twitter at The Heroic Play. That's bye from me.
Bye from me.
See ya.